When people say you're aging like fine wine, they may be implying that you're getting complex and a little fruity. This is Grape Encounters Radio.
There was a time not so long ago when you walked into a grocery store or a liquor store, that's what they were called then, and your choices of wine were few. Maybe there were five or six of any particular varietal, and there were probably only five or six different varietals in the store. My, how times have changed, and that's what we're going to talk about today, the changing tide of wine drinking in America and the world. This is David Wilson with Grape Encounters Radio, and in the studio today, oftentimes you hear them on the phone and to track them down all over the place, but two very important friends and contributors to Grape Encounters Radio. First, Paul Cullen, musician turned winemaker, formerly with Bad Company. Paul, right?
Yeah, that's right. I played bass with Bad Company in the early 90s.
And then you switched from that to Latin jazz. Yeah. Or did you play Latin jazz before that?
Well, I kind of did. I was more of a jazzy bass player, and I liked Latin jazz music and fusion. After Bad Company ended, I went ahead and picked up the nylon string guitar, which is something I'd always wanted to learn. About 5 or 6 years ago, I really seriously got into it. Released two solo Latin jazzy CDs since 2007.
Also, you have gotten into the wine business, and in a minute, we're going to talk about how that happened to understand that, you know what, actually, anybody can do it. If Paul can do it, a rock and roll star, then, you know, anybody can do it. No, I'm just kidding.
No, it's very true, though. Anybody can do that.
And a lot of people are, and I do know a lot of people who toy with the idea of, gee, what if I wanted to become a winemaker? Because so many people are making wine, and because we have gone from few choices that we had years ago to the tens of thousands of choices that we have now, that has created a whole industry. For my other in-studio guest, he is, of course, a regular contributor to the show, also sponsors Grape Encounters Radio. You know, it's not self-serving for me because he is major asset to the show. He brings a wealth of knowledge. He is Matt Dubow, the Gadget Guru.
Hi, David.
This is good. A first, right? Just sitting in the studio.
I know. It's so great to be down here.
It's fun to have you guys here because so often we have to do this over the phone. And it's hard to get everybody pinned down at one time and just have a really calm, quiet discussion about things. But Matt, you have been in the industry for a long time. Just like wine, there were only a small handful of products, right?
Right.
And how long ago are we talking, do you think?
You know, a little over 20 years ago when there you only had your basic corkscrews, your wing, your wader. Those were your basic corkscrews. And then you had your a couple stoppers. And that was kind of it. It's boomed recently, I think, with so many different type of accessories and a lot of people getting into the business.
You know, when you're talking 20 years ago, you're talking about a time when, you know, there was a lot of jug wine out there. Box wine was, you know, popular then. People would have that box in their refrigerator, and there wasn't much reason to accessorize because people didn't see wine as a passion. I mean, there were those that did. And certainly 20 years ago, it was certainly catching on. Today, it's an obsession, isn't it?
Most definitely. And as we've talked about before, people decorate their house in wine theme. You have your romantic evenings where you're pouring the glass of wine and the whole procedure of the pour and the opening of the bottle of wine and all the music that goes with it. It's such a different time, exciting time, I think, for wine.
But it created a whole industry for you. And I think what's amazing about Epic Products and Epic Style. EpicStyle.com is where you would find the Epic products.
It's exciting. And we're adding more, you know, every couple of months.
What drives the decision to add new products? How do you know to add a new one and what to add?
Well, we have such a great design team that comes up with quite a few different themes. And based on those themes that we pick, we start designing products. And that's how we go about it.
But it seems like almost everything that you introduce is a home run. What is it that causes a designer to say, hey, we got to do this?
Without giving up too many secrets, I think...
It's
a lot like the fashion industry, yeah. Actually. And you have to kind of pick the trends. And we try to be a trend center. And from our competition, who knocks us off constantly, you see that we're setting a lot of trends. And that's kind of how I consider this marketplace. It's very fashion-esque.
Paul, you are out serving your wines up all over the country. Are we wine obsessed?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, you can tell just by what they're wearing when they come into the tastings.
What does that mean?
You know, their wine t-shirts, you know, with the three glasses of wine and wined out and, you know, all that stuff. So,
okay, that's an interesting point. Yeah. So they've got to wear garments that declare their passion for wine. Matt is holding up a t-shirt that says, I'm here for the wine. Yep. You, by the way, are responsible for a lot of the garb that people are clothed in when they go to Paul's tastings.
Well, let's not call it garb.
It's I don't mean very garb like...
This is a very elegant t-shirt.
I didn't mean garb like garbage. I meant garb like it's... Isn't that a proper word? Okay. So you're dressing the wine lovers of the world.
We are.
What's the most popular slogan, by the way?
This one right here that I brought, which says, I'm here for the wine. We sell so many of these t-shirts. We have long sleeve, short sleeve, and tanks in this, in the black with a red wine glass. And people just seem to love it.
Are we talking tens of thousands?
We're saying a lot.
You know what? There are certain things you're just not going to tell me, are you?
No, of course not.
Well, okay. All right. What's the t-shirt that you see most out there, Paul, when people come in?
The one with the three glasses on it. It's something about women that need glasses, but it has wine glasses on there.
Oh.
As we get older, we need glasses, and it has three wine glasses.
Oh, okay. I got you. You know what you should do? You know how they had that t-shirt that says, I'm with stupid, and then there's the finger pointing, you know, to the left or the right. You could do one that says, I'm with wino. Matt's just looking at me. No, that's
we'll take that under advisement.
I will never make it to your design team, will I?
No, you've come up with some great ideas for us.
Like what?
They're all in development.
Okay, all right. So going back to wine obsession for a moment, Paul, when you do a tasting, the idea is you're going to pour your three different wines out there, and people are supposed to taste the wine.
Taste.
How many tastes do they generally want to have?
Well, depending on where we are, sometimes it's a wine gulping.
Wine
gulping. It's not the little half-ounce cups. It's actually half a glass of wine.
Who controls the pour? You or the wine shop?
Well, it depends on the place. Probably the combination of both of us.
Yeah. And do you care?
No.
Mm-mm. You don't care? Okay.
Yeah.
Then when somebody does taste the wine, do they feel obligated to buy it?
I think in some instances it does, and I think that's part of the wine tasting. You know what I mean? You go out there and you work hard, and you hope they buy the wine. You know, I feel the same way when I taste something. You know, most likely I'll buy it unless it's really not good.
Well, let me float a balloon here for a second. It used to be when you went to a tasting room, it was free, and now they charge $5, $10. A lot of wineries now have premium tastings. They could be $20 or more, and they're pouring the good stuff, which, by the way, I appreciate, because how many times have you gone into a tasting room and there are like four or five bottles that are listed at the bottom of the tasting menu that you don't get to taste because they're too expensive and they're not going to pour them for you? Would you rather pay for the taste and get good wine?
I think it depends how far into it I am.
If
I'm up at Napa and I'm doing a wine tour, I probably want to start out with my good taste first, and then, you know, down the road, if I get a $5 taste and I get a taste, you know, five different wines, I'm okay with that. I would rather have my expensive taste, though, first.
Would you rather, Paul, go to a tasting room that is offering the good stuff, and are you willing to pay the $20 to do that?
Oh. For sure. Yeah, I'd rather pay the $20 and taste the stuff that maybe I haven't had a chance to have yet.
It's risky.
And the quality, too.
Because it's risky business, and in a way, it feels a little bit like bait and switch in that you try these wines at the top of the list, and maybe they're $20 or $30 a bottle, but the ones that they didn't pour are $40 or $50, and you go, well, if this is good, and this is twice as much money, then it must be twice as good.
Not always the case. Not always, but I think everyone's palate's a little different. So I think you know, something I might like, you might not like, and vice versa.
In the studio, and it's never happened before. They've been on the show, you know, a multitude of times, but wanted to get them together. Paul Cullen, he is, we really can't call you a winemaker. You're a wine purveyor.
Yeah, pretty much. We own the company that the winery makes the wine for us. And we actually have everything to do with the blending of the wines.
Are you starting to weaken a little bit, Matt, on my position that the music is incredibly important to the wine experience?
Well, I never disagreed with you, but I think you don't always have to have the ambience when you're drinking wine.
You think I take it too far?
Sometimes. You know, sometimes I think you just need to open up that bottle and pour yourself a glass and enjoy it.
Yeah, and a Red Solo cup.
Red Solo cup.
I know. There's that Red Solo cup. David Wilson, Grape Encounters, and guests today in studio, Matt Dubose, known the world over as the Gadget Guru for all of you wine lovers, spirit and beer lovers too. Paul Cullen, musician turned wine purveyor, maker, but still a musician. Much more to talk about. I've got some interesting questions that I know you guys are going to have great answers for on Grape Encounters Radio.
A great place to drink wine is on a quiet riverbank, as long as the fish don't bother you. More coming your way on Grape Encounters Radio.
Lots of wineries talk about growing great grapes. This winery talks about growing great wines. Sarlos & Sons in Los Olivos, California, grows great wine, period. This family winemaking operation doesn't have a traditional mission statement. They have a family creed. Live to honor those that come before us and prepare the way for those yet to come. It's with this sense of pride that Sarlos & Sons grows great wine. Grapes growing in the shadow of the farmer ensures the highest quality of grapes are used in Sarlos & Sons wines. Check them out at sarlosandsons.com and also be sure to check out their once-in-a-lifetime wines. Sarlos & Sons is a dream coming true, and they can help make your dreams come true with their exclusive once-in-a-lifetime wines, which commemorate those unrepeatable, unforgettable moments in your life. Learn more about this and more at sarlosandsons.com. That's S-A-A-R-L-O-O-S and sons.com.
We are so fortunate on Grape Encounters Radio to have some incredible authors of books related to wine on the show. But there are two books that I really have a soft spot in my heart for. The first one is a book that just came out. It's called Yard Wine. It's a neighborly thing written by Nancy Roddy and Kathy Larson. Oh my gosh, if you want to know how to bring your neighborhood together using a bottle of wine and your front porch, then pick up a copy of Yard Wine. You'll find the link at grapeencounters.com. Now, another book that I've got a real soft spot for is Tom Silberkleid's California Directory of Fine Wineries. There is no better wine-related travel book than the California Directory of Fine Wineries. Absolutely spectacular photographs, great information. This book will make you salivate more than a great Cabernet Sauvignon. You'll find a link to Tom's book also on grapeencounters.com. Check out the reading material at grapeencounters.com. Did wine become so popular, creating a major industry, not just for winemakers, but for people like gadget guru Matt Dubose, who supplies literally thousands of products for those of you who are ravenous when it comes to accessorizing your wine? In the studio, Paul Cullen and Matt Dubose. And guys, let's talk about this obsession that people have with wine. Part of it, Paul, you know, you've been a rocker for most, well, I should say musician, really, for of your life. So many musicians and also actors and people in the arts have gotten into winemaking. They bring their fans with them, don't they?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think that's part of the deal with musicians is that it's another way to sell your product. That's the reason I did it. It's about promoting my music and my wine together, which is a cross-marketing way of promoting it.
So, okay, you haven't been with Bad Company for a long time now.
No, it's been 20 years.
But it sticks with you, right?
It actually worked out better for me now than it did 10 years ago.
Why is that?
Well, now that I've released my own wine within the last year, people are coming out because it's my wine, and I used to be in Bad Company.
Matt, how much of an influence do you think celebrities' names attached to wine, you know, has on interest in that wine?
I think it's very, very influential. I think a lot of people look up to celebrities, whether they think they do or not. That influence will help them choose a wine.
We reported some weeks back that Drew Barrymore has her own label now.
Wow.
Your eyes light up. I just want to go to that tasting. That's all. I don't even care if the wine's any good. What would you expect to taste when you open up a bottle of Drew's Brews?
Drew's Brews.
Well, all right, Drew's Booze then, okay? I mean, don't stop it now. What do you think, Paul?
You know what? I think it's going to be silky smooth.
Okay.
A little young.
A little young. Okay, go ahead.
And delicious.
And after you have a bottle, you'll want to go out and get a tattoo.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Any thoughts, Matt?
I'm still laughing about what you said earlier about
Drew's. Okay. What celebrity would you like to see making wine right now?
Well, of course, David Wilson.
No. Oh, gosh, we got to talk about that, by the way. We had dinner last night, and we got to crack open the only bottle of wine that I've ever made. The story behind this is that some months ago, you may recall that we did a show from the Mendocino Wine Company that creates the wines that rock. They don't commemorate, but they're supposed to complement, you know, some of the great works in music: Dark Side of the Moon, Synchronicity by the Police, Grateful Dead, the Rolling Stones, 40 Licks. I know I'm missing something. The winemaker, Mark Beeman, asked me favorite classic rock albums were, and I listed six or seven when I got there. He had picked one of the albums off of the list, which was Hotel California, and he said, okay, we're going to create a wine to complement Hotel California. Now, by the way, this is not sanctioned by the Eagles. This was just an exercise in how you take the music and create wine to complement the music. So we made that wine, blended it, and there were a lot of wines that were in front of me that I got to choose from. But the process was interesting because we were talking about, you know, what the characteristics of the album were in the music and the texture, and then slowly but surely we're adding amounts of wine that corresponded to each of those characteristics. Like if, for instance, an album is very dark, then maybe a big, bold, you know, dark wine, and you put a lot of that. If it's bright, you know, it's something different. Anyway, we mixed the wine, and I was very surprised a month or so later that Mark sent the bottle to me. The interesting part, the unfortunate part about the story is I went on the air and I told listeners that I was going to have a contest and they would be able to come and sample the wine, and I set out certain rules. But then I was told that I wasn't allowed to do that because it actually technically, you know, there are some rules about making wines like that. It was just for personal consumption. We personally consumed it last night. And you guys, what do you think?
Oh, it was awesome. I thought I was on a dark desert highway with cool wind in my hair.
Okay.
It was very good. I think you did a really nice job on your blend.
You know what was really cool is we brought it into a restaurant and the sommelier opened it up, and he's a pretty respectable guy, and I don't think he was pulling our chain. He liked it.
Oh, no. I think he truly liked it.
Have you considered since last night, Paul, maybe having me come aboard as a consultant?
I was going to talk to you about that after the show today.
What would we call my wine? Your wines are called
Sonata.
Yeah, Sonata. Yeah,
under our company's Unplugged and Uncorked, but Sonata.
Maybe Snotta for mine, yeah. something like that. Matt, yeah. Have you ever thought about making a wine? I mean, seriously.
I would love to. I think it would be a fun process. I've always thought about it, and just someday, hopefully, I'll have the chance to do that.
If you need to know, just let me know, because that's exactly what we did over the last 2 years, is put it together so we could do our own label.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about how you might actually put your own label together in just a few minutes, and you're willing to spill the beans. Matt doesn't spill the beans about his business, but you're not there yet.
No, I mean, I'm not there yet. So you're getting me at a good time. So I'll let everybody know.
Matt's the most successful guy in the wine business who's never made a single bottle of wine, which is pretty amazing. Do you realize that?
Well, again, we'll have to start making some wine.
Okay. Well, let's think about during the break what the name of that wine might be. You are listening to Grape Encounters Radio. My guests and my dear friends, Paul Cullen, winemaker, musician, wine purveyor, I think is the word we chose for you. Matt Dubow, epicstyle.com. He is the gadget guru. Nobody knows more about wine gadgets and paraphernalia and that sort of thing. And nobody supplies more of it to you wine addicted people out there than epicstyle.com.
The first glass of wine is for yourself. the Second for Grape Encounters Radio.
Tired of being caught unprepared? Want to be a good scout? That's what we thought. With Napkin by JNC Enterprises, you can be Johnny on the spot and be prepared for unexpected messes. The Napkin is one very clever product. These little beauties are barely the size of a small breath mint, but they come to life as a durable, convenient, and sturdy hand towel with just a few drops of water. You'll want to keep a supply of napkins everywhere you would keep a hand towel, paper towel, wash rag, or moist towelette. Napkin is all of these things in one very compact little tablet. Use it to wipe greasy hands, remove makeup, and even to entertain dinner guests. You never know when Napkin will come in handy. Get Napkin at NapkinJNC.com. It's completely eco-friendly and made of 100% recycled paper. Clean your environment and keep the environment clean with Napkin from NapkinJNC.com.
One of these days, I'm going to get in trouble for picking on pretentious people. Who knows, you know, I may go home one night, pull back the covers, and find a turned-up nose in my bed. Look, if you're a wine lover who really is put off by pretentiousness, if you want to discover more ways to have fun with fermented fruit, if you're always looking for new wine-related adventures and discoveries, then check out GrapeEncounters.com. GrapeEncounters.com has a huge library of audio adventures covering topics you're just not going to hear anyplace else. It's fun, fascinating, and it's free. Hey, there's something funny about this wine. So join us at the corner of fermented and demented. It's GrapeEncounters.com. Come on, give us a taste. When it comes to wine, it's the most fun that you can have without turning your feet purple. GrapeEncounters.com. It's always a pleasure to do Grape Encounters Radio, you know, just by myself sitting there talking with you all, but it's even more fun when you get to have some of the people that you respect the most at your side, and today that is exactly the case. Together for the first time, Matt Dubow, the gadget guru, Epic Style. Welcome, Matt.
Thank you for having me, David.
Paul Cullen, winemaker, music maker. And no wine in the studio whatsoever.
I know what happened with that.
It's called law.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
There's something. It's something called FCC regulations.
Oh, okay. And I thought I screwed up on that one.
We can't do that. Okay. You know. And actually, one time I did do a live broadcast, and somebody brought over a bottle of red wine, and of course the station's cloth was covering the table, and it had the logos and everything on it. And wind kicked up and the bottle got tipped over. I didn't even know there was an open bottle at the table. I swear I didn't know. I swear. It did a little damage. Let's just say. And of course, you've got, you know, all kinds of electronic gear there, too. So it doesn't make sense. And frankly, I don't like to do the show and drink wine because you've seen those plaques. I don't. Do you sell that plaque that says in wine there is truth?
No,
you don't. Yeah, but it is true. That wine is the greatest truth serum of all.
So what do you think you would say if you were drinking wine while doing your show?
I know exactly what happens. It's happened a few times where I've done the show from events where, you know, there was wine and we were tasting wine. And I'm pretty conservative about tasting because I'm not big on getting intoxicated. I just, especially on wine, it just is not a good idea because then you don't appreciate the wine. But I do start getting this really dry sense of humor. And I think I'm funnier than I am. And that's the problem because nobody out there is laughing at all. Nobody's laughing now either. What happens when you drink too much wine, Matt?
I just have a big old grin on my face and I'm having a good time.
You just that's crawl over into the corner and drool on yourself, right? Paul, do you ever drink too much wine?
Oh, no, never. Not owning my own wine company, no.
Do you drink your own wines mostly?
Yeah, I'd say so because they're very accessible. I usually have a plethora of them in at the house.
Do you pay for them?
Well, yeah, in the long run, yeah.
Because I think you have a business partner, and I hope you account for all of this.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Or
I do
you each get your own stash?
Yeah, we do. Yes.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's good. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the idea of making wine for a second. Matt Dubow, you said you would make wine. You like the idea.
I do like the idea, and I think what we should do is call it Epic Encounters, and we can do a full compliment. Ooh. We can do a CD, and Paul can play the music, and we can create the wine, and then we can come up with some accessories to go with it.
What do you think about that?
I love it. I just, and I can help too because I just did this whole process of.
By the way, Paul, I was talking to my program director earlier. It's been a while since you wrote the Grape Encounters theme song, and we have talked you up, not because you've paid us anything to do it, but just because we love you, and I think we're due for some new music.
Yeah,
dude.
I figured that. Well, after this 3.5 week trip away from home, when I get home, I'll get on some new music for you. I got some great ideas already.
All right, now Matt, I've got an idea for your wine. It's your last name is Dubow, so I'm thinking we'll call it Dubonnet.
Okay, we can do that.
Do you like that? And I want mine to say, my last name is Wilson, of course, so mine will say Wilson, S-I-N, at the bottom.
Oh.
How about Wilson? Wilson Zin.
Oh, yeah, Wilson Zin.
Wilson Zin.
I love it.
Wilson Zin. Mm. Oh, that sounds good. Do you like it?
I like it.
Why don't you make a Zinfandel, by the way?
That's actually, could be very shortly.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, talk about somebody who's not going to disclose just did.
Well. All right. Shortly, I said.
All right, so people are out there, and they're thinking that they want to make wine. In fact, we've got Matt sitting over here who would like to know how to go about it.
Sure.
So if you're a regular person and you want to get into the wine business, you want to have your own label, you want to make Wilson's Inn, are you willing to tell?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
No, I'll tell
What's
you.
The process?
Yeah,
go ahead.
It's not that difficult. Well, first of all, you can go under our umbrella, and which will make it a lot quicker and a lot easier. Or you can do what we did.
Oh, no. You're doing a commercial.
No. Actually, it's not that hard. It just takes time because it's a government thing. You have to apply with the TTB government office in, I think it's in St. Louis, and you apply for your permit to sell in all 50 states. So you have to have that permit first, and that takes about 8 months
to
get.
But you can't sell in all 50 states.
No. You have to have that permit to be able to sell in all 50. But then you have to have a distributor for every state except for California because our wine's from California. But you have to have that first permit first, and it takes about 8 months to get that.
Okay. And not everybody gets it.
I'm sure if you got a criminal past, you don't get it. But I was fairly clean. At least they didn't go back too far. It wasn't that hard. And actually, believe it or not, that part of the whole deal is free. You don't have to pay any money for
it's
your
free.
Permit. Yeah.
Wow.
And once you have that, then it starts costing you money because every state you have to register your wine with. And every state can be different. Delaware could be up to $2,000. Florida is $25 a label, so $75. So each state's different.
So Florida is a much better place to sell wine.
Well, yeah, yeah. Oh, no, because their taxes are high. It's like $5 a case. So, there's some good states. North Carolina is a good state. It only costs like $100 to register, and their taxes aren't very high. So, yeah. So you have to get the permit, and then you have to get a distributor for every state that you want to be in.
Okay,
so,
now,
like the main thing.
Now you said something about making wine under your umbrella. So I guess what you're saying is that you guys would actually help somebody like Matt who wants to make a wine. So, Matt, what kind of wine do you want to make?
I want to do a hearty wine.
A hearty wine.
Definitely a hearty wine.
Because
he
grew up
red.
On Gallo Hearty Burgundy. Ooh. It probably is why.
So what are you thinking varietal-wise?
Well, I definitely would like maybe some Zinfandel in there, maybe some a little Cab.
Syrah, maybe.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Sounds like just like our wine.
Oh, I didn't know what the blend was.
Yeah,
maybe that's why I liked it so much last night.
Yeah, Cab Franc is the Cab grape.
You know where and where Matt came to this is that he was the guy always at the frat party that would walk around and whatever half empty glasses or half full as the case might be glasses were at the table, just put them all together into that. Red Solo Cup. And it was Matt's cuvee, right?
Oh, I wish I could take credit for that. Now, I knew a lot of people who did that and put maybe some Jack Daniels and some vodka in those glasses as well with the wine. But it
Are you serious?
They. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They were hardcore.
You know, the worst thing in the world is when you pour somebody else's wine into it. Because I did it when I was younger, too. You know, it's like the smoker who walks around and looks for butts on the street. You know, if you're, don't have the money to buy wine, you grab what you can. But it's when you take a sip and then all of a sudden you realize you have a cigarette butt in your mouth.
Ooh,
and you just drank somebody's ashtray. You've not had that happen to you?
Never.
Oh,
never.
Really?
No.
Just me, okay?
No, I got to admit, I did that once or twice, too.
Well, I'm guessing in your profession. Okay, so Matt wants to make a hearty wine. Mm-hmm. So what's next, Paul?
Let's get working on the label.
The label? Let's make the wine.
Listen.
Why? Well, seriously.
No, the first thing you want to do, because, again, it's a government thing, let's get working on the label, get it to where you like it, then we have to submit it, and sometimes that takes up to a month or more to be approved by the government.
How do you feel about that, Matt, that you got to worry more about the label than actually what's in the bottle?
Well, I have a lot of time on my hands, so I can wait. But I have to say, I was talking to Paul earlier, and I really love his labels on his wine. If you have to see them, they're just eye-catching. Really vibrant colors, and I love them.
Well, I appreciate that because I actually designed them myself. Yeah. I just
saving money, or an artist.
I like fooling around with those kind of programs on my Mac, and we had kind of a general idea. Me and my business partner John, and we were flying them back and forth on the internet, see how we could tweak it to where we wanted it, and we wanted the same label for all three wines and just change the color. So, and I think that's going to work out well for us branding wise. So if you've had the Rosso, which is red. And the Bianco, which is blue. And if you see a yellow one that you haven't had, your chances are you're probably going to try that one if you like the first two. So that was part of the reasoning for that.
I have to say I was very impressed by the labels. They pop really nice. And the wine was really good. And I'm looking forward to trying some more tonight.
Yeah, the rosé.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about how much the label influences how much you like the wine. Do you consider yourself to be even marginally suggestible, Matt?
I definitely am. And I think
you are.
Yeah, because I think a lot of times you'll go into, say, a grocery store or even a not a great liquor store, and you don't know what wine maybe you want to try. And I think that label has a lot of influence on what you want to try. And if something really pops off the shelf, you're going to want to try it. Or if it has a catchy label name to it, you're going to want to try it.
Yeah, and I think that goes back to the reason that we did the labels the way we did is that I always bought albums back in the 70s when I was growing up. I bought them because of the cover. And I think they still, they still have albums. No, I'm just kidding.
Do you know that just 2 weeks ago was National Record Store Week. Hmm. And it turns out there are 650, independent record stores still in America. Not very many, really, when you think about it.
No, but I think it's actually coming back. People are buying the turntables and buying those records. I was in Frederick, Maryland, doing a wine tasting recently, and two doors down from the wine shop was a record shop. And it was packed. Huh. Packed.
Yeah. In the studio, it's Paul Cullen, a former bass player for Bad Company. He now makes his own style of music, Latin jazz, and his own style of wine. By the way, you can find your wines and music at
paulcullen.net.
A clever name.
Yeah, I know.
Easy,
yeah,
well. Easy. And then Matt Dubot, who's our gadget guru. Nobody knows more than Matt. Just ask him, right?
Of course. I believe everything you say, Dave.
And epicstyle.com. You want to look at the 2,000-plus products that are available for you wine-obsessed people? Go to epicstyle.com because there's everything you could ever want, need, or desire. How important is packaging in your business, Matt?
It's very important. And actually, we've really noticed a difference within the last 6 years when we've changed our packaging. And we do receive quite a few compliments on our packaging. And I think, again, it really pops and it stands out on the shelf. So people are going to be more apt to buy it or try it because of the packaging. I hate to say it, but that influence really is there.
Okay, so we got the label done, Paul. Matt still wants to make his hearty wine. We've gotten nowhere so far
except
for the red tape. What now?
Well, the wine's already made. It's already in the barrel or in the tank. So we go up to the winery and take your flavor profile that you like and just sit around and use some different blending, blend it different ways as far as percentages go, and see which one you like, and then we go from there to bottle it.
So you're saying that the winery has lots of different varietals that are in the barrel right now.
Right. Our winery has over 16 different varietals that are ready to go.
So it's kind of like cooking a meal. What the meal ends up tasting like depends on the ingredients that you put in there and the percentages, right?
Absolutely.
And it works the same way with
for
wine.
Sure. Yep.
But it's also garbage in, garbage out. I mean, if the wine's not good, it doesn't matter what the varietal is. It's never going to be a good wine.
No doubt about it. And we made sure that the vineyard that we partnered with, that's not the case. They have really good juice. And so far, it's gone extremely well.
Well, we mentioned Mendocino Wine Company, too. There's another example of somebody who does make a lot of wines for different people because they've got a lot of juice out there. They've got a lot of vineyards, and there are many, many, though, winemakers that will private label wines for you. They will blend the wine, right?
Oh, certainly.
You had a lot of options.
Yeah, we did. And the reason that we picked the vineyard that we did is that they were really easy to work with. They're a family-run vineyard. It kind of reminds me of, if you've seen the movie Bottle Shock, kind of like what Napa was back in the 70s. That's kind of, Amador County's like that. Just a bunch of farmers making some great wines and not pretentious whatsoever. In fact, at our vineyard, the tasting room is in the warehouse. So while you're tasting the wines, you're watching the forklift go to your left, go to your right, pick up a pallet. Here comes grapes from a truck. I mean, it's really, really cool to see all that.
You too can be a winemaker, and Matt Dubot may just do that. And I may join in on that. More on this and a few other subjects. It's Grape Encounters Radio with David Wood. You know, for most people, wine is more than just a beverage. It's a lifestyle, motivating enthusiasts to decorate in wine themes, collect the latest gadgets, and coordinate the table setting with wine glasses and accessories that celebrate the season or occasion. It's no wonder that epicstyle.com is the hottest spot on the internet to shop for wine lifestyle products. Nothing compares to epicstyle.com's selection of clever, functional, fun, and beautiful products for wine lovers. epicstyle.com.
This is the time of year when wine lovers start planning their pilgrimage to California's wine regions. The perfect inspiration and companion is the California Directory of Fine Wineries. Featured are profiles of dozens of Central Coast and Northern California wineries, along with hundreds of color images by renowned photographer Robert Holmes. Plus, highlights of tours, tastings, maps, and events. These beautiful directories make a fantastic gift. Be sure to like the California Directory of Fine Wineries Facebook fan page for wine country news and events each week. Click on the link at grapeencountersradio.com.
From time to time, you hear stories about everyday average people who, while cleaning the garage, come upon a painting that nobody liked. And what do you know? It turns out to be a Picasso. I wonder what it would be like to stumble upon a bottle of wine tucked away in a dark corner of your grandparents' pantry that was given to their parents as a wedding present. Rare wines can be very valuable indeed, and every bottle has an amazing story behind it. If you'd like to get up close and personal with some of the rarest wines on the planet, or better yet, if you'd like to take a stab at buying a bottle or two to treasure or even savor on some extraordinary special occasion, then you need to make your way to the St. Mark's 3rd Annual Cellar Classic, an auction of rare and fine wines on Saturday, July 28th in Los Olivos, California. You absolutely have to be there. July 28th in Los Olivos, California. For more information, click on the link at grapeencounters.com. And we're just sitting around, kicking around all kinds of ideas, sharing our thoughts. I'm so glad to have in person Paul Cullen, but wine purveyor, because you don't actually stomp the grapes, right?
No, I let our winemaker do all that stuff. He knows really well.
Do you have any desire to actually make the wine at some point?
You know, I've been so darn busy promoting it and, you know, by doing tastings all over the country that I guess someday it would be kind of cool to do that. But right now it would be so hard to even think about doing it.
Okay, now you always, I think, have that, you know, former relationship with Bad Company attached to your name. People see that. It brings them to tastings?
Yeah, it sure does. And it gives them another reason to come to the tasting.
So that's what I call residuals.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Like it'll never leave you, right?
No, Bad Company till the day I die. That is the lyric. Yeah, until the day
that's
I die.
Exactly right. How many people come in and go, God, I loved Bad Company, and they start singing the songs
to you?
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Matt Dubot did.
Yeah.
Did you really do that?
I love Bad Company.
Yeah, did you sing any of it with Paul?
I don't remember singing any of it.
I think I told him, okay, here.
We'll leave it at that.
Easy.
But, of course, we broadcast from California, but, Paul, you are from Delaware. And we always have to do this on the phone.
Oh, I know. I actually, because I don't have a landline, I have to go over to my mother-in-law's house and hang out there and wait for you to call me.
I know. The sacrifices that you make to be on Grape Encounters Radio.
Actually, she's a sweet, sweet lady. Yeah.
And then Matt and I will get together and do it in person sometimes, and then a lot of times on the phone we do it. And so many times I'll call Matt and you'll go, is this a good time, Matt? No, but let's do it anyway. No, you're always very gracious and I appreciate that very much. Well, but your business is so ridiculously busy.
It is busy and we're coming up with new items all the time, which is exciting.
Yeah. Do you go to people's houses and see a lot of your stuff there?
I do, but the best is when I get a gift, a wine accessory or something similar, and they'll give it to me. And I said, oh, hey, I know where you got this. And they're like, well, where do you think I got it? And I say, oh, you got it from Epic Style. This is my company. I get that. I get my gifts as a gift all the time.
Okay. Is that from people who don't know what you really do for a living, or do some of your friends know that you run Epic Style and buy gifts from your company anyway? And why do you have friends like that, if that's the case?
Yeah. Hey, I'll take friends like that who'll buy my items any day of the week and give them back to me. Then I'll just resell them, right?
We've got a lot of people who buy products online. And again, I don't want you to spill any trade secrets, but can you tell a pattern with certain people that, oh my gosh, we just released a new product, gotta have it? It's like the latest release of an album, gotta have it. Are there those kinds of people out there?
Oh, most definitely. And you know, we find that was with our cork cages.
Do you have a cork cage, Paul? I need a cork cage, Paul.
I need a cap cage.
And this is funny because the cork cage is, in the wine world, it's the most popular item out there.
It's just to put your corks in, but also a lot of the cages, you can put a bottle of wine in, give it as a gift. So instead of putting it in a wine bag, you can open up the bottom of, say, our wine bottle cork cage, put the bottle in, and attach a note. Or we have new cork cages that have a chalkboard on it, and you can write, say, happy birthday on the chalkboard and put a bottle of wine in it.
All right, so bringing this full circle, we started the conversation at the beginning of the hour talking about how many years ago there were only a few wines and fewer accessories to go with them. Now there are tens of thousands of wines and thousands of products to go with them, demonstrating that we are wine obsessed. But the thing about the cork cages that really strikes me as interesting is that we're obsessed with keeping the corks. And why is that? Is that just a manifestation of that obsession that we have?
Well, I've heard from different people why they keep them. Some people like to write a little note if it's a special occasion. They'll say, oh, this was an anniversary. Or some people will say what restaurant they received the bottle of wine at, or if it was a nice bottle of wine and they like to keep that. I don't think they ever look at it again, but I think it's a nice memento to have.
Paul, you keep your corks?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, actually, my wife does garland for our Christmas tree. We have a little 3-foot black Christmas tree, and its garland is all our corks. Yeah, so there's a lot of corks on there. You can barely see the tree.
So I put the question to our listeners who are fans on our Facebook page. Do you save corks, and why? And the overwhelming response was that they wanted to make something from the corks. They were going to build something. I got enough corks, by the way, to build an ark. I mean, I'm absolutely not. Do you sell a glue gun, Matt? You should.
No, we don't.
Okay, so another great idea with a special glue. It doesn't really have to be special, but you say it's special to glue your corks together.
Okay, we'll get on that one too.
The Wilson glue gun, we call it.
All right, so this, no, you have in here, by the way, a cork cage that says corks.
Yes.
Now, Paul, he's rolling his eyes already. You can feel it coming. Paul has screw caps on his wine because he's obsessed with the possibility of cork taint.
Oh, wait, now. And getting the bottle open quickly is really the main reason.
So wine screw caps, I know you have beer cap cages.
We
but
do.
But wine screw caps, would you be willing, Matt, to make a screw cap cage for Paul that says, like, maybe screwed on it or something like that?
Unplugged and uncapped.
Well, our cages, you can put screw caps in them. We have, just like our wine bottle, it doesn't all say corks on it, so you can put your screw cap in those as well. I don't know very many people that keep their screw caps,
but they might do that if they had a screw cap cage, and it could just say on it a new twist. You're
wow.
Just looking at me.
There you go.
Paul likes
another
it. Paul
great
likes
idea.
It. You never like my ideas, Matt.
I do. I love all of them.
Yeah. Well, I can see that in your face. Okay.
That is going to be as far as we're going to be able to drive this train today, because another program will now step into our shoes. Is that metaphor? That's mixed metaphors. Can't do that. But anyway, what a pleasure. Paul Cullen, you're on your way back to Delaware?
Stop in St. Louis. I'm opening up for Foreigner on May 3rd.
We should have said that at the beginning of the show, and we'd have held on to even more listeners.
Oh, wow.
Foreigner. How cool is that?
Yeah.
And Matt, you've never opened for a major rock group, right?
Not yet.
But major rock groups have opened wine using your products.
They definitely have.
Which you will find at epicstyle.com. So check it out, the gadget guru and everything he has to offer, epicstyle.com. Paul Cullen and his great wines and music, paulcullen.net. I want to make sure we have that right. You'll find us at grapeencounters.com. It's been fun having you guys here.
Hey, thanks for having us.
And we'll see you next week.